briefly, Abraham and, I mean, Sarai and become Sarah. We're looking forward to Genesis 17. The scripture reading is the first 14 verses. So, Brother Kerry, thank you.
Good morning, church. Let's go ahead and let's look into God's Word, the 17th chapter of Genesis, the first 14 verses here. And this is what it says. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, As for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring, after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and I shall be it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised. Every male throughout your generations, whether born in your house or bought with your money from any foreigner who is not of your offspring, both he who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money shall surely be circumcised. So shall my covenant be in your flesh, an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Wow. Key word. I think covenant was mentioned about 10 times. So another word that's being emphasized is the word am. It's all caps. And pastor titled, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. Then I will keep my promise. Pastor?
Thank you, Carrie. And good morning! It is indeed a good morning because God calls us to be blameless, and through faith, He will indeed make us one day blameless before Him. You see, God will keep His promises to those who have faith in Him. We have seen again and again in the life of Abram that God has been adamant to him that He will fulfill His promises to him. But there is something else that we, as believers in God, must know. God will not keep His promises to a stubborn and disobedient person. Salvation is by faith alone, and that is what we believe as Christians. But real faith does not produce an unrighteous and unholy life. Our our sins are forgiven as Christians, sins in our past, sins in our present, and sins in our future. They are all forgiven in Christ. But the true believer in God, the one who has faith in his promises, will live a life that is constantly changing. They will be a person who is constantly growing towards Christ's likeness. God commands the one who has faith in him to produce the fruit of the faith as they walk before him and become blameless. It is only the person whose true faith results in obedience to God that he will keep his promise. The Bible says that we are saved by faith, but that faith without works is dead. So let us see what God now has to say to Abram, the man who would walk before God, who would walk before God Almighty. Remember that Abram is the man who we saw last week, who fell mightily into very serious sins. And his God is one who mightily forgives all our serious sins. And all of our sins are serious sins before God. Yet God is willing and able to bring the change to Abram's life that is needed for him to be the man that will become blameless before him on the last day when Jesus comes to judge the living and the dead. So let us pray and get right into our text. Dear Lord, Father, we will not enter the kingdom of heaven as imperfect sinners, Father. We cannot make it into heaven if we would desire to bring sin into your heavenly kingdom. Father, you cannot be in the presence of sin in your kingdom, Father. Therefore, we must be holy, we must be righteous, we must truly be blameless before we can enter into your kingdom. But Jesus has done the work so that one day, when it comes time, we will be blameless as we enter your kingdom, Father. But we are sinners now. We are wretched now. We are evil now. And though Christ's blood covers our sin, we need to reach forward and be the blameless people that we need to be to enter heaven. And that can happen through the work of your Spirit. We can grow through the sanctifying power of Christ's resurrection to be the sinless, blameless people that we need to be, Father. And it happens one day at a time, one hour at a time, as we seek to obey your word through the power of your Holy Spirit that lives in our hearts. You call us to walk before you. You see our hearts and our actions and our words. And you call us to be blameless as you called Abram to be blameless. And just as you changed the person that Abram was and made Abram into Abraham, Father, you will change us if we will trust in you for it. We are saved and forgiven simply by believing your promises, Father. But then you will not leave us as we are once we believe, Father. Make us blameless. Make us holy day by day as we strive through the power of your Spirit to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself, to love one another in the church. Grow us each day to do this more, Father, as we examine your word today. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis 17, 1 and 2, we pick up after chapter 16 from last week. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, so that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly. God wants Abram to be blameless because he does not want him to fall into sin. We saw in the previous chapter last week that Abram and Sarai had fallen into terrible sin. And 13 years have passed since then, and Abram has had much time to consider his relationship to God. God comes now to Abram at the age of 99 and appears to him, telling him that he is God Almighty. This name, God Almighty, or El Shaddai in the Hebrew, is the covenant name of God by which Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob come to know him. This name carries the idea of the absolute power of God. As the God who rules almighty over the universe, God calls Abram to walk before him. As we learned at the end of the last chapter, God is the God who sees. God knows and sees everything that we do, including our hearts. And now God tells Abram that he is the God who has the absolute power to rule over him. So Abram must walk before him because God both sees everything and judges everything. And if Abram hopes to see the promises of God fulfilled, he must show evidence of his faith by walking blamelessly before him. God will now call upon Abram to demonstrate evidence of his obedience to him by keeping the covenant which God is about to make with him, the covenant of circumcision. Just a few weeks ago on Easter Sunday, we looked at Romans chapter 4, and saw that it was not through circumcision or any other work that we are saved. Abram has already believed in the promise of God, and it is through his belief that the righteousness he needed was received. Let us remember back two chapters to Genesis 15, verses 5 and 6. Genesis 15, 5 and 6. And he brought Abram outside and said, Abram, look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to Abram, so shall your offspring be. And Abram believed the Lord, and he counted this belief to him as righteousness. So Abram had the righteousness he needed to enter heaven through his belief in the promise of God, through his faith. And then, after receiving the salvation, we saw Abram fall into terrible sin in the next chapter, chapter 16. The contrast between his great faith and his terrible sin is very clear. But when we looked at Romans 4, we saw that it is not the man who is without sin that is truly blessed. For there is no man truly without sin. But instead, the man who is forgiven his sins through faith, he is the one that is truly blessed. We see this in Romans 4, verses 5 through 8. And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Just as King David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. King David says, "Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin." It is not the one who works to earn their salvation who is counted righteous before God, but the one who believes in the promises of God, which are fulfilled in the work of Jesus Christ. King David, like Abram, knew this blessing. What we need from God is forgiveness from him. We need our sins covered by the blood of Christ. And after Abram had believed in God's promise and received righteousness from God in Genesis chapter 15, he fell into these sins in chapter 16 and needed that forgiveness from God. Without that forgiveness, Abram would have been condemned to hell for his sin. None of Abram's previous good works could save him. So we arrive at chapter 17, and now God appears to Abram to make the covenant of circumcision to Abram. God tells him that he has the ultimate power to judge Abram, and that Abram will walk before him always, because God can see everything about him. But rather than remind Abram that all he must do is believe in his promise, God calls upon Abram to be blameless before him and obey his covenant. So when is Abram saved? Is he saved from hell and the condemnation for his sin when he believes? Or after God's command to be circumcised? We learned the answer to this a few weeks ago as well. If you need to review, I encourage you to go back to the live stream on Easter Sunday. But Romans 4 is clear. In verses 9 and 10 of Romans 4, it tells us, "Is this blessing of salvation then only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? For we say that faith was counted to Abraham as righteousness. How how then was it counted to him? Was it before or after he had been circumcised? It was not after, but before he was circumcised. Faith was what saved Abram, or Abraham as we know him. The blessing of salvation, the righteousness Abram needed to stand before God and enter heaven, came without circumcision. When Abram fell into sin, it was after he believed in the promise. His sins were already forgiven. He was not a man in danger of losing his salvation. He was a saved man, saved by faith in God. Abram was going to heaven because he believed that God would forgive him. Jesus, the Messiah, would come and do the work that was needed for Abram's sins to be covered by his blood. So let's return to Genesis 17, verses 1 and 2. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, so that I may make my covenant between me and you, and may multiply you greatly." So here, right after Abram's sins in the previous chapter, why does God come and command Abram to be blameless? The word blameless in the Hebrew and in the English too means to be without sin. God is telling Abram to be truly righteous before him. Is this simply God reminding Abram to be righteous through his faith? No, it cannot mean that, because God is about to make a covenant with Abram that he is required to obey. Abram and all the Jewish people after him who are Abram's descendants must all obey God by being circumcised. And God says in verse 14 of our text today that any man who will not be circumcised will be cut off from God's people. God is saying that if they will not obey him in this way, they will not be saved. So is God breaking his word? Is salvation by faith alone, or by being blameless before him? If Abram could fall into all this sin in the previous chapter, why does God come to him now and require obedience before he will keep his promise? All this is to make us think about what it means to be a Christian. As Christians, we are saved by faith. Nothing we can do can earn our salvation. Nothing we can do after we truly believe can take away our salvation. In chapter 15, Abram believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. He was saved by his faith and headed for heaven. All the promises of God were his. And then in chapter 16, Abram did horrible things that deserve God's judgment, because Abram was still a sinner and an evil man. The way we think in our confused thinking, we would think that Abram should have lost his salvation when he did all that. But he did not lose his salvation. We see here in chapter 17 that God comes to Abram, and Abram is still a saved man. He will still receive the promises. He did not lose his blessings, and God did not cast him into hell. But when God comes, he calls upon Abram to walk before him and be blameless. He tells Abram that he must obey him and be circumcised, or else be cut off from God's promise. We can learn from all this that Christians are saved by faith, not by our works. We cannot lose our salvation if we truly believe in Jesus. But God will not leave us in disobedience and sin if we truly know Jesus. If we truly love Jesus, we will hear God's call to walk before him and be blameless. Hear God's call to obey him and his word. And what will happen? It will cause us to fall on our face. It will humble us so much that the reason we will not be cast off into disobedience and judgment is that we will begin to obey God when he calls us to. All of this, of course, happens through the work of the Holy Spirit. And all of this will be real and tangible for us in our lives. One important reason that we will never lose our salvation as Christians, once we have received it through faith in Jesus, is that we will begin to obey God. And this obedience will increase over the course of our life. Our obedience does not earn our salvation, but through our obedience, our salvation is demonstrated to be true. When we walk before God, not perfectly blameless, but blameless still, increasingly, it shows true evidence that we have come to know him. We know that we have truly believed in him because we now desperately want to obey his commands, obey his word. And he gives us the power to do so. So Abram fell on his face before God. He knew his terrible sin, felt the weight of it, mourned what he had done, and felt tiny and small before the power of El Shaddai, his God Almighty, the God who sees his heart and his deeds. Would this God still make his covenant with Abram and keep all his promises after what Abram had done? So we see in verses 3 through 5. Then Abram fell on his face before El Shaddai. And God said to him, "Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have already made you the father of a multitude of nations." God could see Abram's heart, and that Abram would indeed seek to keep his covenant and walk before him as a blameless man. God knows all things, and God is the cause of all God knew that Abram would change, and God would be the one who would cause Abram to change. As a symbol of Abram's new life, his new obedience to God, God changed the person that Abram was and gave him a new name. Abram would no longer be Abram, but Abraham. The name Abram means exalted father. Abram had indeed been an exalted man because he had come to know God. But Abram would now be Abraham, which means father of a great multitude. Before, Abram had been honored, but now Abraham would be guaranteed the promise that God had made to him. Abraham would be the father of many nations. God would change not just his destiny, but change the very person that he was into a new person who loved and served him. Would Abraham still struggle with sin? Yes, he would not be perfect in this lifetime. But would God make Abraham into the man that God wanted him to be? A blameless man who walked always before him. He assuredly would. He would keep that promise. We will still learn more about Abraham's sinfulness as we look more at his life here in Genesis. But this event was a turning point for Abraham. God was going to bring Abraham to a point where he would radically obey him in a way that demonstrated true faith, that brings us to awe at the faith of this man. Not quite yet. More struggles ahead, but we are getting there. Genesis 17, verses 6 through 8. God says to Abraham, I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land of your sojourning, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. How amazing the promise of God to Abraham and to us through Abraham. After 13 years of silence, God reiterates and strengthens his promises to Abraham. After all the sin that had been committed comes not just forgiveness and mercy, but amazing grace. Wonderful blessing that Abraham did not deserve. God would make him fruitful in every way. God would make Abraham into the father of nations. God would bring powerful kings through Abraham, and there will be an everlasting covenant which would come after him, a covenant which would not only save the people from their sins, but guarantee their holiness and bring them into everlasting joy. This covenant is the new covenant, which would come through the blood of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Abraham could look forward and trust in this everlasting covenant made through his Messiah. Though he did not know the name of his Messiah, Abraham trusted in him. And now we know his name, the name of Jesus, who is also El Shaddai, God Almighty, in human form. And we must believe in him. We must believe his gospel, his good news, and through our faith, walk before him blameless. And he offers us the power to believe in him and also to obey him. Look at this Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, is both truly God himself and also truly a real man, a real human being. When Jesus became a man, he came to live a perfect life where he never sinned. He always obeyed God. In that, he is not only our example of obedience to the Word of God, but also the one who did what we could never do. When we trust in his sinless, holy life, we receive credit for his perfection. His righteousness becomes ours through faith in him. Then, because we have sinned and deserve to die eternally in hell, Jesus obeyed his Father by going to the cross. And on the cross, Jesus not only physically died, but he also took the spiritual punishment that we deserve. God the Father poured out all of his wrath, the punishment of hell, on his Son Jesus on the cross. Jesus did not deserve it because he was a perfect man. He is a perfect man still today. But we do deserve it. Abraham deserved it. But through our faith in Jesus, he takes what we deserve in our place. Then Jesus was raised from the dead 3 days after his death on the cross. And it is through this resurrection power that Abraham and us can now obey God and strive to live blameless before him because of our faith in Jesus and his resurrection. So believe in your Messiah, your Savior, Jesus Christ, and all the promises of God, the forgiveness of sin that you need, are yours. You will have both the perfect righteousness of Jesus as your own, and one day you will be truly righteous and blameless before God as you enter the kingdom of heaven on the last day, all through faith in him. Genesis 17:9-11. And God said to Abraham, "As for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you throughout their generations. And this is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you." God called upon Abraham, the new man that he had made him, to keep his covenant, to show evidence of his faith. He was not saved by circumcision. No one is. And not every person who is saved must obey the command of circumcision to to be saved. This command was given only to the Jews. But Abraham and his offspring, the Jews who had the faith that he did, would demonstrate their faith through this work of circumcision, a surgery upon their private parts that would set them apart as the offspring of Abraham, who not only claimed to obey their God, but who would live in such a way as to demonstrate their love for God. They would demonstrate their faith by their works and thus prove that they did indeed believe in him. And though in this time of the new covenant promises in Jesus Christ that we are in now, we do not show evidence of our faith through circumcision, as Abraham and the Jewish people did, we still demonstrate our faith through obedience to God's word. That is how we know for sure that we know God and are truly saved. We are not saved by works, but we prove our salvation through the fruit of our works. Almost done. Genesis 17, 12, and 13. So he said to Abraham, "He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised. Every male throughout your generations, whether born in your house or bought with your money as slaves, from any foreigner who is not of your offspring, both he who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money, shall surely be circumcised. So shall my covenant be in your flesh, an everlasting covenant." Every male person who shared the faith of Abraham in his God would be circumcised. Even the foreigners and slaves who became part of his house. The covenant of circumcision recorded here in Genesis would forever point to God's everlasting faithfulness to the true Jewish people, the ones who would truly believe in him and his promise. Last verse, Genesis 17, 14. "Any uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant." But the one who would not obey God would be cut off from him. The broken covenant would prove that they did not truly have faith in him. And it is the same for us, that if we continually live with an unrepentant heart before God, that it will demonstrate that we never knew him. Jesus echoes this warning to Abraham and the Jewish people in his Sermon on the Mount as a warning to us. We close with this, Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, the last day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' And then will I, Jesus, declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" You see, there will be many people who arrive at the judgment seat of King Jesus who claim that they have believed in him, but but will not enter his kingdom because they did not live in a way that was consistent with their profession as Christians. They will say that they are Christians, but they have not done the will of the Father. They have not lived in obedience to his word. They have not strived to be blameless before him. They will claim some outward works that they did, but their hearts and their lives will not match who they claim to be. The scripture calls them hypocrites. Although they fooled many people, God knew that they were not really his people. They were not obedient to his word, especially when others were not looking. Be warned that God cannot be mocked. He cannot be fooled. And no matter who else is fooled, those who do not truly love him in their hearts will never enter his kingdom. One point of application. Christians are saved from God's judgment by believing in the gospel. But that salvation is proven by our works. When we truly believe, we live a life of obedience through a process of spiritual growth that happens as our faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ grows stronger day by day. So, seek to demonstrate your faith by believing God's promises in his word, and the result of that belief will be obedience to his commandments. Let us pray. Father, we can't do this. We can't just stand up and in our strength, whatever strength we think we have, just obey you, Father. We have to come to that point where we fall on our face before you, realizing the depths of our sin, that we cannot do this without you causing it to happen in our lives. We need you, Father. We need your strength, your power, your ability to change us, to change our hearts. We can only have that by believing you for what you promised us, that you can change us and that you will change us if we believe. We can walk before you and be blameless if we're trusting in your promises, the promises that are fulfilled in the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us to trust in him. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.